I will get into first, second, and third order approximations later on in this discussion. But for the purposes of this, we're going to use the first order approximation of what a wire is. It's an ideal wire. This is, a wire has infinite conductivity. It doesn't have any resistance whenever you think of it schematically. When you think of it actually laid out as a trace on the board or a literal wire connecting things together, you have to take into consideration the resistance of the copper. But you also have to take into consideration its inductance, its stray capacitance, and a whole raft of other things. But for the first order approximation, it is just a perfect conductor. A perfect conductor has some interesting characteristics. A perfect conductor, every point along the wire and everything that it connects to, at the point that it makes connection, every point along that wire is actually the same point. They are not different. The wire is just a convenient way to say that all of these things connect together. If you view a wire like that, and I guess what you'd call pseudo-wires, the grounds, the plus symbols, and so forth that you're supposed to imagine being connected together, they are all just a point. They are, that is, there is no resistance between them, and you can therefore rearrange the circuit any way you desire, as long as the points that are connected together are still maintained. I show two circuits here. They're both a wall wart powering a resistor. They are both actually identical to one another. One of them I use a plus sign indicating that the plus 12 volt DC is connected to the other plus 12 volt DC. The grounds that I show are all connected together. Those are assumed to be wires. The ground symbols are a single node. That is, they are a single point that is actually connected together. So you could conceivably draw a wire between all of them. The reason that these two circuits are identical, even though they look radically different from one another, is because if you were to grab hold of the components and stretch them in some very strange ways, you could mutate from one to the other. If you consider all of the actual wires that form the circuit to be single points, you could fold one in and then unfold it into the other, and so forth. Again, the grounds are just a single point. You can view them as having a wire connecting them all together. The plus 12 is just a point, like I mentioned before. This makes it possible to lay a circuit out in a completely different way than another one that's identical to it. Electrically, that is. They look completely different, but electrically they are exactly the same thing. I'm trying to drive home the point that whenever you see a circuit, oftentimes it is convenient to redraw the circuit in a way that you have seen it before so that you can make more sense of it. If you leave it drawn the way you find it, the way that the author drew it, you may have a difficult time understanding it. It is worthwhile to spend some time at trying to understand how one can redraw these circuits and still have them mean exactly the same thing. I mention all of this, and then I also need to mention that these are far from convention. A circuit drawn the way that either of these are drawn, anybody look at them and say, well, those are horrible examples. They're horrible examples for a reason. I'm trying to demonstrate a point. The way you're supposed to lay out a circuit, current and power signals, things of that sort, generally flow from left to right. You try to make the circuit not back up and go the other way. In other words, you don't want power flowing to the right part of the time, then flowing backwards right to left, if you can avoid it. Sometimes you can't. You also, after the consideration is made to flow from left to right, it is also convention that you can flow from top to bottom. Well, okay, you might try and look at these two and see if you can come up with other circuits that are identical to these and laid out differently. Gaining a skill that does this, the ability to transform these circuits into duplicates that are laid out in a completely different way, will prove very helpful whenever you try to understand how to plug components into one of these solderless breadboards, or actually lay a circuit out and solder the thing together. Because a lot of times, the way that the components lay out on the board is far from the way that you've drawn them. And so you need to be able to make these transformations without altering the circuit that you set out to build.